American Cassette Ministries welcomes you to part 6 in our journey into fullness, Egypt to Canaan. Pastor Ron Halverson has entitled today's meditation, Murmurs and Miracles at Marah.
Father, which art in heaven, we bow before you tonight in a very special way. We pray as we bow low before you that we might realize your forgiveness and your love, that we might come to this place tonight studying thy word, and we pray, God, that we might understand the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan and the journey into fullness. We ask for that full, abundant life, that life of victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now last week we left the children of Israel standing on the banks of the wilderness, and they were singing a song of deliverance. For how else could they express such excitement? How else could they express such joy than moving from prose to poetry, from speaking to singing, from walking to dancing? They had been saved from death, and they had something to sing about. They had been saved from death, and they had something to talk about. They had been saved from death, and they had something to dance about. Now, this is what the wonderful experience of salvation does to people. Now, after much rejoicing, they realize it's time to move on. And I'd like to quote from Book Patriarchs and Prophets 289. The daily blessings that we receive from the hand of the Lord, and above all else the death of Jesus to bring happiness and heaven within our reach, should be the theme for constant gratitude. What compassion, what matchless love has God shown to us lost sinners in connecting us with Himself to be to Him a peculiar treasure. What a sacrifice has been made by our Redeemer that we may be called children of God. We should praise God for the blessed hope held out before us in the great plan of redemption. We should praise Him for the heavenly inheritance and for His rich promises. Praise Him that Jesus lives to intercede for us. Praise and singing, the children of Israel. Now before them stretches the desert, the parched earth, the scorched thorn trees. And their joyful song of deliverance will soon become a mournful song of despair. And as one studies the story of the life of the children of Israel, we discover sometimes they're on a mountaintop and other times they're in a deep valley of despair. And how many of us go through the same experiences in our Christian life? On the mountaintop and the valley of despair, on the mountaintop and the valley of despair. Well, here the children of Israel, they're singing their song for deliverance. They're joyful that they've been delivered from death, from the hand of the Egyptians, and now they're starting out a trek across the desert of Shur, and they're on their way to the city of Marah. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 15, and I want you to look at verse 22. Exodus 15 and verse 22 through 27. I'm going to try to show a little map here of the journey of the children of Israel. To the left is Egypt, Goshen, and on down they cross the sea, and they're on their way to Marah. It's a 3-day journey through the desert of Shur, and they come to Marah, and the word Marah means bitterness, and this place was but a reflection of the condition that is to be found in every human heart. It only requires a given set of circumstances, and this bitterness, which is but the result of resentment and rebellion against God, resentment and rebellion against the will of God surfaces. Instead of rejoicing, they begin to murmur. Instead of thanking God for their deliverance, thanking God for their salvation, thanking God they've been saved from death, they're murmuring to God, they're complaining to God, they're complaining about their circumstances. Now notice in our passage of Scripture here in Exodus 15 and verses 20 through 27, the record. And so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, and therefore the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now the Bible says that they came to this place of bitterness. They came to this place of rebellion. They came to this place of resentment. They were bitter in their hearts, and the water was bitter. And I want you to notice in our passage of Scripture first the problem that precipitated the healing. Because the Bible says here in verse 26, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Here is a place of healing. Here is a place God is to perform a miracle of healing. Now, we need to see the problem that precipitated this need of healing. It says they came to this place and there was no water, and when they came to Marah there was water, but the water was bitter. Now this bitterness lay right in the middle of God's leading. This bitterness lay in the middle of God's direction. This bitterness lay in the middle of God's guidance. God did not bring them around Marah. God did not bring them around bitterness. God brought them to bitterness and through bitterness. Patriarchs and Prophets says that Israel moved forth under the cloud. In other words, it was the divine direction. The children of Israel were not wandering in the wilderness. The children of Israel were being guided in the wilderness. They weren't wandering lost. They were guided by the cloud, the pillar of cloud, and they were guided by the fire. And so God directed them, God brought them and guided them to this place of water and this bitter water. Now, the perfecting of character. And I want you to listen closely tonight, because the perfecting of character comes about only through trials. Beyond the sea of deliverance is always the desert of temptation. If you recall the life of Christ when he went through the Red Sea experience, or his baptism in the Jordan, because Paul the Apostle says that they were baptized in the water, the children of Israel, and it was symbolic of their baptism. And so Jesus Christ was baptized before he went into the wilderness, before he was tempted of the devil. He was baptized, and then he went into the desert straightway. The Bible says he was led up into the wilderness. How was he led? He was led by the Spirit of God. He was led by the presence of God. God guided him to the wilderness. God guided him to that place of bitterness, that place of temptation. And so the children of Israel are led out, delivered by the blood. The children of Israel are delivered by the miracles of God, the parting of the water. They're led out, and then they're led to Marah. They're led to this place of bitterness. Just as Christ went to the battleground for the test in the wilderness, so every born-again Christian, every man and every woman who's ever been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who's ever come under the commitment of the gospel of Christ, they need to go through this place of bitterness. The great problem with humanity, the great problem with men and women, we don't want to face the bitterness. The great problem is we're afraid of bitterness. We're afraid of hard trials. We serve Christ only in good times. But when the times come rough, we lose our faith because we had no faith to begin with. And that's why the Lord faced the threefold enemy in the wilderness, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the children of Israel must face the world and the flesh and the devil. And Jesus overcame in the desert, the children of Israel must overcome in the desert. Jesus overcame in the wilderness, the children of Israel must overcome in the wilderness. The wilderness of temptation, the wilderness of trial, and the wilderness of hardship is where every Christian forms character, and every Christian is perfected by the grace and the power of God. I want you to keep that in mind, deep in your heart. No bitter trials, no bitter experience, no bitter hardships, no bitter tests, no promised land. No promised land. And now the children of Israel traveled 3 days under the pillar of cloud to the wilderness. And after those 3 days of desert travel, they ran out of water, the Bible says. And this problem arose out of a twofold cause. They ran out of water, first of all, because of the failure of human resources.
Now they filled up the water jugs, they filled up all the skins and carried, but have you ever tried to think of how much water it would take to feed those or to quench the thirst of over those million children of Israel coming out of Egypt? Some say 2 million. And so 3 days later, all the human resources are used up. All the human efforts are used up. And now they're vacant. They're empty. They have no water. They're beginning to thirst. Human effort, human works, life-sustaining water comes only from and through God. Remember that. Survival in the wilderness depends upon the living water that comes through faith and faith alone. You cannot provide enough water to keep you from thirsting in the wilderness. That's what God's saying through this story of Egypt to Canaan. Christ's encounter with a woman at the well teaches us this very clearly, that eternal truth. Water from heaven, he says. And that's what the children of Israel need, and that is what we need today. That's what the church needs most of all, is the water that comes from heaven. Only then can our thirst be quenched. Now, the whole lesson of the Exodus is that human resources fail. It failed to get them out of Egypt, it failed to get them through the Red Sea, and it failed them at Marah. And all human effort, human resources, fail. Divine resources got them out of Egypt, remember that. Divine resources got them through the Red Sea. Divine resources would bring them water, and divine resources would get them into the Promised Land. Their part was only to obey. And everything they tried to do for themselves was always inadequate. Everything they tried to do for themselves always failed. And I tell you, everything you try to do for yourself will always come to failure. Will always come to an end. Will always be to no cause and to no end. The failure of human resources. But secondly is the nature of human resources. You see, they came to Marah, the Bible says, and they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. When the water they carried failed, they thought, well, that's no real problem, we come to Marah. And perhaps in the distance they could see the shimmering waters of Marah. And perhaps they were thinking to themselves, well, we've got this far, we'll get as far as Marah, we'll fill up our vessels, we'll fill up the skins, the water skins, and then we'll go on. And so as they saw the shimmering water, they thought, well, in our own resources, we can come together, we can plan it so that we'll know better next time. They had a plan. They had a human plan to provide for themselves for the rest of the journey. Little did they know that the water was bitter until they tasted it. And again the truth dawns upon them. There is nothing that they could do for themselves. How many trials do you go through? How many bitter experiences do you go through before you learn the lesson of faith? Now you'll notice the nature of human resources in the context of our scripture. The Bible says they murmured against Moses. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle had been performed for them. And yet complaining and murmuring and doubting filled their minds. How easy it is to forget the leadings of God when bitterness comes upon us. How easy it is to forget how God has led us in the past, here in the present. How easy it is for us to forget. But I want to tell you, parents, I want to tell you, students, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, are you standing before the water of Marah tonight? Are you murmuring? Are you complaining? Are you ready to turn around? Are you ready to cast it over? Remember, all the resources of heaven are at your disposal tonight if you'll just open the bank to heaven. If you would but ask God in faith, God has a provision available. He's already provided. Are you standing before the bitter waters of Marah tonight? Young people, I want to ask you that question. Are you discouraged? Are you standing before the bitter waters of discouragement and saying to yourself, what's the use? Are you standing before the bitter waters of discouragement and saying, well, I came to college, God provided, but He's not providing for me now. And are you ready to turn up, give it all up and turn away? Remember Marah. Are you going? Are things going as you expected them to go? Remember Marah. Are you standing before the bitter waters of Marah tonight, the bitter waters of failure? Does it seem that everything you do seems to fail? You're failing in school, you're failing in life, you're failing in your own heart, you're failing in your Christian experience. Is it because of failure that you're beginning to murmur to God, you're beginning to complain to God, you're beginning to ready to turn around from God, give it up, remember Mara? Now it's easy for us to forget how God brought us here. How God opened doors to keep us here. I want to say, young man and young woman, if God brought you here and provided for you to get here, God will provide for you to stay here, and God will provide for you to leave this place with your goal in sight. Human resources can fail, but Jesus Christ never fails. Praise God. Scholars tell us that the water was not only bitter, but was contaminated. And therefore, it was capable of communicating disease. And that is why God describes himself at that occasion as being the Lord, the healer. Because you see, there was a disease. And those that would partake of that water would not only taste the bitterness of it, but it would be communicated. It was a communicable disease that could be carried by that water. And it could lead to their death. And that is why God describes him as being the healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee, verse 26. The story points out the failure and the nature of your life and mine apart from the grace of God. The apostle put it succinctly in these words when he said, in my flesh, or in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Human nature apart from God, human righteousness apart from divine righteousness, is always bitter. It's always bitter. But with the problem of bitterness, there was something worse. The poison of bitterness. The poison that necessitated healing. And the people, the Bible says, murmured against Moses and said, what shall we drink? You see, the destructiveness of bitterness is clear in the Scriptures. Paul says, let us not tempt Christ, neither murmur, as some of them also murmured. 1 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10. The acid test of whether a person is living in the fullness of Christ is simply this. When the test comes, does it turn to the Lord with faith? Do you turn to the Lord with faith? Do you turn to the Lord with contentment when the trial comes? Or do you cry out and murmur against God and complain against God and complain against His church and complain about His movement? This is the poison of destructive criticism. They murmured against the leader, the Bible says. How often we see this in the church. Moses, after all, was the leader. He was commissioned by God to take the people through to the promised land. Moses was doing exactly what God had told him to do. He was doing it to the best of his ability. March with the people, follow the cloud. But they murmured against Moses. It's always true, it's always like that. It's always true. When we take our eyes off Jesus Christ and look to man, it's always true. Inevitably, we begin to blame others. Our perspective becomes blurred. People can never see beyond the immediate to the ultimate. And how the cause of God is hindered, how the cause of God is hurt, how the cause of God is destroyed by such criticism. And so at Mara, the people of God are bitter. At Mara, the people of God are discouraged. At Mara, the people of God are defeated. Human resources fail, but God is not slack concerning His promise. He that begun a good work will finish it, and I praise God for that tonight. He that begun this good work, even though we come to Mara, even though we're detoured by bitterness, we can go through to the kingdom of God. Now Moses is acting. Look at verse 25 of this chapter, Exodus 15, and notice what the Bible says. Chapter 15 and verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now that's a tremendous verse. I don't know if you catch the significance of it. I didn't for many hours. And I kept reading it over and praying about it and looking at it and looking at it. And finally I discovered something about the spiritual meaning of it. Now we've seen the problem that precipitated healing. We've seen the poison that necessitated healing. But now we're going to see the power that produces healing. And we can talk all we want about sin. We can talk all about the disease and talk about the poison. And we can become discouraged by the poison. But I tell you, there is power and healing in the grace of God.
And Israel was soon to find that. In verse 25, we have the power that produces healing. Moses had the redemptive answer to the problem. God gave him the redemptive answer. Take a tree. A tree. The redemptive answer is a tree. And those of us who have been studying the symbolic significance of the tree in scriptures will remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter the 2nd chapter. Turn with me. 1 Peter the 2nd chapter and verse 24. That's the first epistle, chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Paul adds, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. You see, there at the waters of Marah, the redemptive purpose and the redemptive plan of God was in action and was seen by the children of Israel again. The tree, Golgotha, Calvary. The tree is the revelation of the redemptive purpose of God for all mankind. At the tree, human guilt culminates. At the tree, the mysteries of prophecy are unraveled. At the tree, the majesty of the Lord is vindicated. At the tree, the great problem of human redemption is solved. Only at the tree. It is only at the waters of bitterness do we find the blessings of the tree. Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross. Jesus Christ dying the death for you and I. Jesus dying. The redemptive purpose, it was revealed to Moses. God said, Moses, cut down the tree. And Moses went to a tree and he cut it down, symbolically speaking of the death of Jesus. When Jesus received the nails and Jesus received the spear, he was in fact being cut off. The Bible uses that expression, that phrase. He was cut off. When Moses went to the tree as the leader of God, cutting down the tree, it was symbolic of the cutting off of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and that was put into the bitterness of the water, and the water was made whole again. The water was made clean and clear. Whatever poison was in that water, it was healed. There is no bitter experience in your life that cannot be sweetened by the cross. Isn't that beautiful? There is no bitterness and no experience that cannot be sweetened by the cross. There is no bitter sin in your life that cannot be sweetened by the cross. For the Bible says in 1 John, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first epistle of John. And look at the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, even as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care how deep the problem is. Thank God the cross is more than adequate. I don't care how bitter you are tonight. I don't care what your feelings are tonight. God can take you out of yourself, and the tree cast into the water, I tell you, springs forth into eternal life. Jesus Christ, the tree, the cross, Calvary, is the answer to the bitterness of mankind. There was the moral, the redemptive purpose revealed to Moses. But there was also the corrective answer to Moses. Look at Exodus 15 again and look at verse 26. The corrective answer, not only redemptive, but now comes the part of man. And notice what the counsel of God is through Moses. Here in Exodus the 15th chapter, and I want you to notice verse 26, Exodus 15 and verse 26. The Bible says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the command of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all these statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that, what? Healeth thee. Now there are three things in this corrective answer to the children of Israel. God showed him the redemptive answer. Now God shows him the corrective answer. God says, first of all, hear my voice.
You see, the reason they had gone wrong in the first place was because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. If they had lifted their hearts to the Lord, He would have answered. Just as He answered Moses, He was testing them, He was teaching them, and they were always to hearken to His voice. I know nothing that marks the true Christian walk more than just this. Follow the voice of Jesus. My sheep hear My voice, and they what? Follow Me. Follow Me. And so the Bible says here in this corrective answer, He says, hear the voice. But secondly, He says, seek His face. Not only hear His voice, but seek His verse, seek His face. The Bible uses that word, right in His sight. And those of you who know Old Testament will know enough that the sight of God, the eyes of God, the face of God, are all symbolic of the walking in the light with God, the presence of God. And that is why the priest would say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up His countenance. His faith. And so we need to seek the face of God. The children of Israel not only hearkened to the voice of God, they were to seek the face of God. Have you looked into the face of God today? Into His presence? Have you seen His countenance? His countenance. Whenever God turned away from their presence, it was because they displeased Him. They sinned. And so God says, hear My voice, and God says, seek My face. But thirdly, God says, know My grace. Know My grace. Here we have the unmerited favor of God in this verse, fulfilling all the needs of mankind. Here we have the outworkings of God's grace. We need to know the grace of God moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Know the grace of God. I want you to notice this. Egypt, redemption from sin. That was a historical fact. The Red Sea, redemption from death. That was a historical fact. Mara, redemption from doubt. That was a continuing fact. The three P's, Egypt, the provision of God. Red Sea, the protection of God. And Mara, the providence of God. He's not only speaking of the cross, He's speaking of the providence of God. I want to say, young people, Mr. and Mrs. tonight, that you're under the providence of God. God has a plan for your life. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, God has in His providence guided you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He is the God of the past, the present, the future. He's everlasting to everlasting. And His providence is that He gets you into the kingdom, into promised land. So there it is, Egypt, the provisions of God, the blood on the doorpost. There is the Red Sea, the protection of God. There the Egyptians died in the flood. And there is Mara, the providence of God. God turned the water of bitterness and He turned it into sweetness. God turned a bitter experience and He turned it into sweetness. God again performed the miracle. Have you once known the way of darkness and not known the way of glorious light? It is the grace and grace alone that they were to know the fullness of a life experience. A journey into fullness is dependent upon His grace and His grace alone. Out of Egypt by grace, through the Red Sea by grace, drinking the water of Marah by grace, walking by grace, living by grace, entering by grace. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is what? A gift of God. Don't you try to turn the water of bitterness into sweetness. Surrender. Give up. Say to God, say to your Lord, say to your Father, I'm sorry. Give yourself up. By the grace of God, through faith, He'll save you. David the shepherd, David the soldier, David the sovereign knew it. This constant grace, he could say, He restoreth my soul. And because God restored his soul, he had no fear, he had no need, he had no worry. Then who are you to fear? Who are you to need? And who are you to worry? The God of David lives today. The God of Moses lives today. And the God that brought him out, brought him in. And the God that bring us out will bring us in. Hallelujah. He lives God. And He's moving God. And His grace is sufficient for us. So we can know the power of God's redemptive purpose for our lives today. And so we can live by faith and by faith alone. Have you begun that journey into fullness? Have you come out of Egypt through conversion? Have you been buried in baptism, crossed over the Red Sea? And are you now standing at the bitter waters of Marah? Are the trials coming upon you, the temptations coming upon you, the hardships coming upon you? Go on trusting in God. His grace is sufficient for us all. The God that brought us out will bring us in. Father, which art in heaven, I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you so much for the privilege it is to know the power that sweetens the waters of this life. How wonderful it is to know God tonight, the sweetness of the waters, the sweetness of the waters. Father, I pray if there's a man or a woman or a young person or a child or a teenager here tonight that doesn't know that sweetness, Father, we pray that you'll forgive. Father, we pray that they might come to the water and they might see the tree. Thrust in. And may they be broken at that tree. We pray, turn their bitterness into sweetness. Father, we pray week after week as we follow the footsteps in the wilderness, that we will never get our eyes off the cloud, off the fire, off the Lord. I ask it and pray in the blessed, lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.